Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to Matthew's Gospel. I did not realize, even coming into this, and I have preached a number of times throughout the years from Matthew and have done Bible studies, like Wednesday night, actual studies, verse by verse of Matthew, and I've never been as impacted by this passage of Scripture as I have in prep for this series of messages in the 18th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. The heading in your Bibles there at chapter 18, verse 1 says, "The greatest in the kingdom of heaven." That's kind of a fooler in a way. Yes, it's true. That was the question that the disciples ask, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? But you will find that the whole of this chapter is built around Jesus' response when he called a little child to him and placed the child among them and said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such as such child in my name welcomes me." What begins to happen is that the Lord Jesus, speaking on behalf of the Godhead, his Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and he begins to lay out, if you will, a whole spectrum of this picture of the believer as a child of God. Now, I think it is necessary as we begin this to qualify this. He says, those who humble themselves, those who will change. These are words that he uses right here in this passage. If you will change and become like a child, if you will humble yourself and be like a child. So there is this contrition that comes of the recognition of the sin in our lives and our inability to take care of that sin. And we bow down before the Lord and we humbly come before him and ask, "Lord, take my sin." And as we do that, and we are brought in as his children. And then our attitude, he speaks first to our attitude, that attitude should remain of those who are the children of God. It is one of humility. I could go throughout the Scripture this morning, but I won't. We'll do that at a later time. But we could go all throughout Scripture and see all the times that God says that he dwells among the contrite. He dwells among those who are humble, those who will humble themselves before him. So that is a point of yielding to where you, I believe, live in the presence of the Lord a life that says, "I cannot make it without you, God." How many know what I'm talking about? Doesn't matter so much what's going on around us. If you live as a child of God, you realize that nothing touches you except that it comes through his hands. Now that's confidence. A heavenly Father who loves us and cares about us is watching over us. Amen. Don't make me have to use the stick wherever it's at here. those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, see if so. Here, I'll do it once. Maybe. Did I do it? Cool. All right. I know those of you that are watching us online, and there may be many today, but those of you watching us online, you may not understand, but you know, this family, and together, we are the children of the Most High God. And that is not in arrogance that we lift our heads and our noses high, but it is humility that we are bowed low before Him. But, oh, the glory of being His. Now, I want you to see this because I'm not going to re-preach last Sunday's message, but I do want to include it in this one because it's important. It's part of this. In the beginning, He identifies the greatest as a little child, encouraging humility among His followers. But then He moves to the treatment of the little ones. In verse number 6, with a promise of blessing to those who welcome His little ones. So people that welcome and that treat God's children right actually get a residual blessing on them. Hallelujah. I believe unbelievers who will treat believers well receive a blessing from the Lord. That's how much that God honors. Hey, listen to me. My children, if you talk bad about my kids, look out. But if you speak well of my children, look out. Now, because I want to bless those that are blessing my children. Right? He also gives a warning to those who would cause His little ones to sin. It's right here. Woe to the world. Oh, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Don't touch one of my children. Huh? Even those of us that have adult children, and they have a boss or they have somebody that is abusive to them. Huh? Doesn't it make you want to go have a visit with them? I want you to know that your Heavenly Father, He's the same way over His children. Don't mess with my kids, He's saying. God cares about His children. He then moves to a warning to the world that causes people to sin. There it is, verse 7. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. So you can see he begins to open this up. He said, speak poorly to my kids, look out. And by the way, the world that is bringing sin and causing them to sin, look out. There's going to be judgment on this world, church, because of the way they have treated the children of the Most High. I just heard the other day that there is, in China, there is a clampdown, even this past week, on the Chinese Christians. They are not allowing the transmission of the gospel over the internet or over the airwaves going forward. The only place that they can go is in the national churches. God is watching. Huh? Man will do what man will do. Sinners will introduce sin where they will, and they will come against. But you got to know that God is watching, and He is watching over His children. What is amazing, it's just like Israel, when they were placed into bondage in Egypt, what did they do? They flourished. They grew. They became a mighty nation. Same thing has happened in mainland China. They close the doors of the churches. They run off all the missionaries, thinking they could shut down the gospel. But hear me! You cannot shut down the gospel. It went forth, and there are more Christians today in China than there have ever been. Other countries around the world, the same thing has been true. As they've tried to clamp down and close the doors, The Heavenly Father who loves His children begins to bless them. They begin to see the miraculous take place, and the gospel comes alive as never before. And more and more and more and more people become the children of God. Hallelujah! What I'm telling you this morning is a good thing to be a child of your Heavenly Father. He then gives stress to the worth of the little ones. And He says that they are so closely watched over. Listen to this. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Heavenly Father. Now, He did not give this to us that we would create a doctrine of angels, but rather that we would come to the realization that even the angels who are at His dispatch are working to bless, to minister, to care for those that belong to the Father. Bottom line this morning, it's a good thing to belong to the Lord. You may have come into this thing simply because you didn't want to go to hell. You wanted to go to heaven. And so you've kind of chased down this whole spiritual thing thinking, well, okay, I've taken care of eternity. But I want you to realize this isn't just about eternity in the future. This is about eternity right now. Our relationship to the Father is in existence right now. We are His children. And He loves His kids. Is there anybody in this house that will proclaim, I am one of His children? Hallelujah. Come on, just stop and thank Him. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for coming into my life. I did not deserve the kind of love that you have given to me. Thank you, Father, for loving me. Praise your holy name. I will not take it for granted the love that you have extended to me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you for adopting me as one of your children. Praise your holy name. Now, I need to tell you, church, He didn't stop there. Our passage this morning, beginning at verse number 15, He now moves this love relationship that He has with His children into our interactions with one another. In this portion from 15 to 20, there are four things that are dealt with here. And that is the handling of conflict. In other words, He's saying, now as my kids, I don't want you to get into fights with one another. He talks about the authority that exists within the church, the strength of the church, and finally, then the fellowship that we have in the church. Okay? So let's look at those four things. The first one is handling conflict in the church. Now, the best way I can think about this. We have some kids here this morning. Can I? Yeah. Hey, fellas, can you help me for just a minute? Do you guys ever fight? Is there ever a conflict between you? Really? And whenever you do, what do mom and dad say? They look to mom to find out what she would say. They know exactly what she would say. Stop fighting. Do I have to separate you two? Now I'm going to put one over you here, one over here. Don't make me. I remember driving down the road, and you know, my sister and I, there's only two of us, but we could get to going, you know? And my dad would say, don't make me have to stop this car. Huh? And of course, we were pretty confident that he wanted to get wherever he was going, so we would keep it up. Until we would feel those brakes hit. And then we knew that once he stopped that car, we were about to learn a lesson that we would never forget. And you know what? It's because he loved us. He realized that conflict between us was not healthy. It wasn't just the fact that he and my mom didn't want to listen to it. It wasn't healthy for she and I to, because in any conflict like that, you just keep ratcheting it up, you know? And sooner or later, you start saying things that you can never take back. Well, see, it's the same way with God's children. And so he's saying, let me tell you how to handle conflict between you. Because I love you. Don't make me have to stop this car. Huh? You don't want God to stop everything to have to tend to two of his children because they're in conflict. So we might as well learn what he has said. The first thing is, if your brother offends you or sins against you, it happens. This statement is presupposing that there will be offenses between his children. Okay, are you ready? How many know that there are sometimes disagreements within the body of Christ? Some of you didn't lift up your hand. You're just too ashamed. You caused it. Oh. No. He says, in verse number 7, remember, he says, woe to the world because that caused people to sin. Such things must come. Well, I can tell you, the same thing is true. You put a group of God's children together, sooner or later there will be conflict that will arise between them. It just is going to happen. I hear people, oh, I don't want to go to that church because, you know, they have people in there that disagree with one another. You're not going to find a church where it doesn't, where there's not some conflict that exists. The key is, how do you handle the conflict? It's not if there will be conflict, it is how do you handle the conflict? There wasn't any question as to whether my sister and I were going to get into a disagreement because we didn't think anything alike. For one thing, she was a girl and I was a guy. For one thing, I like to torment her. No. Nevertheless, it was a given that we were going to get into disagreements. So that wasn't it. It was, how do you settle those disagreements? He says, first of all, go to the one who has offended you. Go to point out their fault just between the two of you. Now, church, do you realize that church splits would come to an end? There would never be another church split if the body of Christ would practice what God has given to his children. You know the steps here. Most of you in here have been Christians long enough. You know that the first thing is, he says, go to your brother, go to your sister, talk to them one-on-one, do your best to resolve the thing between the two of you. If they will not listen to you, then take one or two other people with you, because every word is established by 2 to 3 witnesses. Okay? Now, there's no way maybe you can take them to the offense, but what you're doing is allowing both parties' side to be heard. And they can stand as an advocate to the both, not to the just to the one. Okay? So, in other words, there's a referee in your conflict. And that's what we do as parents. Okay, what are you fighting about? Huh? Mom or dad? What's going on? She touched me. Huh? And mom and dad realized that that's not an earth-shattering kind of thing, but it does need to be resolved. And so she will turn to the other one and say, would you please stop touching? Okay. Huh? You know, it's funny when you reckon with it right now. It's not funny when it's happening though, right? And it's not funny to our Heavenly Father when those things arise in the church. And when, especially when it's over something stupid like, she touched me. Huh? I have heard conflict arise within the church because somebody looked at somebody. Every time I come in, she hasn't smiled at me. Huh? You got really quiet on that one. That's pretty cool. No, it's true. Some of the sorry, but some of the dumbest things get between God's children. And he's saying, look, get together, one-on-one, work it through, and the end goal is peace. Get it resolved between the two of you. And if you can't do that, take a couple more people along so they can hear every argument that's coming forth and they can help you to come to peace. And if that doesn't help, if you've got one of them that's terribly stubborn, then bring them before the church. I've not had one of those yet, but it really would be fun, wouldn't it? No. But nevertheless, conflict can be resolved if we would take the time to resolve it our Heavenly Father's way. Everybody believes that, say amen. That says, so let it be. Okay, so you just made a commitment. Huh? Because, hey, I can guarantee you something. Are you ready for here's a money-back guarantee. Whatever you gave in the offering, money-back guarantee. Sometimes, if you stay in the body of Christ, if you stay among the church, somebody in this place is going to offend you at some time. And you know who it probably will be? It'll probably be me. Some of you aren't even smiling. I've already done it. Hey, the best way to resolve this is for us to sit down together and to talk. And let the God of peace, the God of wisdom, come and give us resolve together. It may not be possible, but that's where we begin. Because we are God's children, He wants us to sit down and to work through the difficulties. If we can't, bring somebody else with you and come, and still, it's talking. Now, notice here, he makes a distinction about not getting everybody involved with this. Because you see, if you say, well, I'm going to go to my brother, and I'm going to talk to him, but before I go, hey, guess what he did? Did you hear what he did to me? Did you guys hear that? Oh my goodness. That's not the way God's children should act. He doesn't say go and collect all these people so that when you go to him, you can say, well, I've been talking to several people and they agree with me. Because see, what you've already done, you've already broken the whole thing. It's already exploded now. Because people who are not even involved with this thing are now involved with this thing. People who really had no need of knowing that there was a disagreement or a struggle. Huh? How many of you had multiple siblings? You know, that means more than one. Okay. Wasn't it a temptation whenever somebody did something to you to go to the others and get them on your side? How many know? Yeah. She saw it. They saw it. Huh? Yeah. Smart moms and dads separate the child out and go, get over yourself. Listen, this works within your home. It really will. It will work in your marriage. Instead of you running to all the other people and tell them about how difficult or how bad your husband or your wife is, start with going and sitting down just with them. You say, but that's so hard, that's so painful, that's so difficult. Yeah, he didn't say it was going to be easy. He just said that's the path that will lead you to success. That's the path that will bring peace. But all too often, we want to leap over the top of that, even from the standpoint of going and seeing a counselor. Now, you can deal with this however you want to, but I believe it's true. To go and see a counselor before you have sat down with your mate is only gossip. You need to start where the Lord said to start. And there is a beginning point right there. Now, if they cannot hear, then you can say, hey, look, we've talked and you're not hearing what I'm saying, so we need to have someone else listen. And that's where you bring in another godly counselor to sit down so they can hear both sides of it. And you begin to build. But your goal here is not to gather people around you to be on your side, but your goal is the reunification of that which is broken. God, your heavenly Father, your Father is working toward healing. This is the path in our relationships. Now that's a lot of love, isn't it? That he would tell us how to mend the struggles that we have with one another. How many would agree with that? Oh, love of God. Hallelujah. All right, I have to move off the conflict because there are three more pieces. The second piece begins at verse number 18. Look at it. He said, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This is speaking to the authority of the church. Now keep in mind the context. The teaching here is both spiritual and judicial. He is saying we don't need to take our grievances to the world. Now he's talking to his children, but he's saying to two of his children who have a grievance between them that they cannot get resolved between the two of them, he's saying don't run out and take them to the courts outside the church. The Apostle Paul deals with this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and gives very detailed instructions. In other words, Paul says, go and find the least person among you in the body of Christ, and have them adjudicate your cause. Go and find the person of the least intelligence among you. Anybody want to hold that for us? I would point fingers, but I won't do that. Just go find the weakest person among you, and they will give a better judgment if they belong to your heavenly Father than if you take it out to the world. Now you can choose to believe this or not, but this is the reality of the confidence that your heavenly Father has in his children. Because he believes that he can put into the heart of even the weakest member of his children enough wisdom and more wisdom than they will receive from the world without him. You know, our heavenly Father has a lot of confidence in us and in our ability. You know, he can take the weakest Christian who is humble before him and pour his wisdom into that believer and make them smarter than the grand intelligence of the world. Well, I don't know, Pastor, if that's really true. Well, God said it. You just have to choose whether you believe it. He says, what I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. First, he's talking about the judgment brought forth in the church about the disagreement between two parties. Don't take it out of context. The word there, bind, means to fix into its present state. In other words, what has been decided by the church will also stand in heaven. He's wanting us to realize that there is an authority within the body of Christ, within the family of God, as we gather together and we bring forth judgment in his name, that it is recognized in heaven. He says, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, it's reference to the judgment between parties within the church. Loose means to unbind or to release. He says, if you release that individual, if you set them free, then they will be set free in heaven. Again, keep the scripture in its place. Context. When acquittal has come as a judgment by the church, then the accused is acquitted in heaven. Isn't it interesting? Sometimes you see this when someone does something, an offense, which would be an offense to the church, And the judgment is brought down. They are acquitted. They are set apart. That there are still some of God's children that still want to hold it against them. Hello? I know that's a little bit difficult, but it's very true. Whatever is bound by the church is bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed by the church is loosed in heaven. I bring this caution. This scripture is often used in the binding of evil spirits and disease. Although the Lord may direct such binding or such loosing, this scripture in its context is not the passage of scripture to be used. Now see folks, we can either do this God's way or we can do it our own way. You choose it to do your own way, don't be surprised if this thing doesn't work. We have to respect the Word of God. Respect it enough to hold to its context. Now again, there may be a time where the Lord speaks by His Spirit in a circumstance and encourages the church by its standing, by its unity, to bind the Spirit. But this isn't the scripture by which we do it. Now it's really quiet. The authority of the church is an authority that is reckoned in heaven. Amen. That's the truth of this passage. The last thing, or the next thing, is the strength of the church. What's the strength of the church? Anybody? Come on, call it out. Unity. Agreement. Huh? Isn't it a strength in your home when you're all in agreement? Even between husbands and wives, isn't there something spectacular when both of you are agreeing about the same thing? Maybe it's something simple. Where are we going to go? We're going out to eat. Where are we going to go to eat? Everybody says the same place at the same time. And you go, wow. Wow. And so that everybody sitting at the table, everybody that's around there is glad to be there. It becomes a moment. Well, we got to write this one down in the annals of our family life. We all agreed on something at the same moment. There's power in agreement, church. On the day of Pentecost, they were in one accord, in one place, seeking the Lord and the power of His Holy Spirit. And what happened? The Spirit of God fell. Agreement within the body of Christ is the strength of the church. He says, when my children come together and agree on earth as touching any one thing, it shall be done. In other words, it moves the hand of God. There are situations that we need to see the moving of the hand of God. I believe that it's possible as the church comes into agreement together, as we will stand together over one thing. I've witnessed it throughout my whole life in ministry. I know that this is true. When the body of Christ, and let me tell you something, you can feel it when it happens. I mean, when everybody lets go of their own personal stuff and they come into agreement with everybody else in the room, something palpable happens. You can feel it. It's like all around you. It's like, oh my goodness, anything, everything can happen in this atmosphere. Well, see, how many know that to be true? Okay, then why don't we chase it more? Not really. I mean, I'm not scolding. I'm just saying, why don't we chase it more? To work at coming into agreement, knowing that when we're in agreement, powerful things begin to happen. There are people that need to be healed. There are spiritual battles that need to be won. There are imprisoned individuals, spiritually imprisoned, that power of the prison in their life needs to be broken. We can see it happen. It just isn't God saying, my children, come on, your strength is in agreement. Look at how he says it there, just to make sure. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Praying, seeking the Lord, worshiping the Lord in agreement, there's power that is released. And I take you to the last thing. And that is in verse number 20. He says, for two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. The fellowship of God's children. My children, my boys are stretched out across the United States. My oldest is in Southern California, Coachella Valley. Indio. My next one down is in Dallas, Texas. I have the opportunity to talk to them on the telephone once in a great while, to Skype with them. Can I tell you, it's not the same as being there? Go to see my grandkids about one time a year, and the little ones kind of shy away because they don't really know who I am, other than that I have a title, Papaw. So it takes me half the visit or better for them to warm up to who I am before they feel confident in coming within arm's reach. I can say as a father, I don't like it when my children are all scattered out. Now that's life. I understand it. But you know what your Heavenly Father is saying here? He said, listen, whenever you're going to get together, I want to come and be with you. You know, sometimes I think as we pray and invite the presence of the Lord into our services, it is as though this is something that we desire. We're not sure if He does. But I can tell you, just on this scripture and many, many others, He wants to be with us. He wants to minister to us. Jesus, as He's leaving His disciples, standing on that mountain before He lifts into the sky, He said, fellas, I want you to realize something. He said, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm going to be with you always, even to the ends of the earth. It seems to be something that the Godhead wants us to realize. When He says, I'm leaving physically in presence, but I want you to realize that I'm going to send another just like myself who will come and be in you. Why? Because God loves His children. And when we come together in His name, He wants us to know He's right there with us. There's never just two praying together because there's a third one, and He is the third person of the Godhead. Hallelujah. Now see, I don't know if any of this really interests you or not. It depends on your relationship with the Lord. But any time that my Heavenly Father says that He wants to be with me, I want Him to know He's welcome. Lord, don't let anything that I say, do, or think get in the way. May the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. I want you to be with me all the time. He and I talk a great deal over everything that is going on in the church and in our lives. And my conversation with Him constantly is, Lord, I want to do this your way because I do not want to be out there on my own. I've learned the confidence, the peace, the joy, the love that is felt when my Lord is standing right with me. Hallelujah. There have been times that I made a decision based upon something that He put into my heart, and like, Lord, I don't know if this is going to work, but if it's really His, it works. To my surprise, and sometimes to everybody else's surprise. But you see, having God, your Heavenly Father, on your team, it's just what we need. The strength that we have in agreement is when we all gather around Him. And we're not afraid really to pray, Thy will be done. May not understand it because you're bigger than we are, you're smarter than we are, but Thy will be done. on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? He's concerned about your conflicts. Yep. He's concerned about your agreement. He's concerned to know that when you gather together in His name, He's right here in the midst. This is the last of these messages about the little children. But I think He's given us a good glimpse of what it means to be His child. Would you stand with me, please? Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. If you have that relationship with your Heavenly Father this morning, would you just begin to talk to Him and express your thanks and your love, your appreciation for the way He cares for you? If you happen to be in this room this morning and you do not have a relationship, an easy conversation with your Heavenly Father, you've not allowed Jesus to take your sin to come into your heart, I'd love to pray with you today. We will invite Jesus into your life. And I can tell you, if it's real, if you really humble yourself before Him, if you really let Him become your Heavenly Father, your life will change. You will never be alone. As Christina said, perfect love casts out fear. You know what perfect love is? Complete love. That love is when we're in relationship with Christ. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I just want to ask this question. You lift up a hand and say, Pastor, pray with me. I need to know Jesus as my Savior. I need to know Jesus to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me, and to make me a child of God. I want all those benefits in my life. Is there anyone, young or old, rich or poor? He takes us all. Is there anyone this morning? Just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you that the Lord Jesus would come into your life. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord Jesus. As always, if you have a special need and would like one of our elders to pray for you, they are here in the front. The Lord brought me to a passage of Scripture in Numbers chapter 6. It is the blessing that the Lord gave to the priest to speak over the people. I shared this with the board at our meeting last week. I want to pray this prayer blessing over you this morning. And with all of my heart, I pray that this will be true. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Father, I pray that Your peace would be upon Your children in these very difficult times. May we not be as the world, wringing our hands over what may come next, but may we know that You love us, You care about everything that's touching our lives, and You'll be right here with us every moment, every step of the journey. And Lord, may we have a confidence that rises up within us as Your children, that is visual, just like a light that is set on a hill in a dark place. That the world would see there is a difference in those that belong to the Lord. May Your blessings be upon Your people as we go about our week. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being with us. Be careful this week.
your power.
Hey, folks. Heidi would like for me to announce to you that there will be a camp in